Anyway, thank you, ladies, for joining. My name is Erica Anderson. I am a published author. I am a professional editor. And I have been doing this work in particular for about 7 years. I started doing this work because a friend of mine at that time had asked me to edit their book for them. And I am willing to admit that that first gig was a complete flop. But in 7 years, I have been able to build a business that has allowed me to not only learn more about the self-publishing process, but to learn more about what it takes to publish a quality book. So today's information is being shared for the purpose of teaching you the whole process of what it is to write a book. It is not for the purpose of selling you editing services. I want to make that clear. However, of course, if you would like to work with me, I'd be glad to. So, I had been working on something like this for quite some time. I had started a self-publishing guide, and I call it the Power to Publish Guide or something like that. So, I call this the Power to Publish Masterclass. So, today we're going to go over what, and I forgot to change this number, but it is actually five simple steps to publishing a book. As you can see, they are listed here. So we are going to go through each of these six elements, and I'm going to give you a breakdown of what that process looks like, what the outcome should be in each step of the process. And then I'm going to also give you tools and resources, websites, applications, different things you can use as a part of the process of getting your final work published. So starting with the process of capturing and organizing the information. Obviously, we know that you have to get the actual information that you'd like to publish. So, whether it's a personal development book, or if you are a chef and you want to create a cookbook, or if you want to create a journal, which on the KDP platform is considered to be low content, like a low content publication, all of those things are considered publications. Obviously, you can write. That's probably the most common way in which people document what they like to publish. But there's also dictation, which is a very easy way to capture what you need to get down without having to cramp up your fingers, whether that's typing or writing. Microsoft Word is actually the most useful tool that I've used when it comes to capturing, like using a dictation element to capturing text for the purpose of writing a book. I would say that the only challenge with that was sometimes, let's just say, like you're pouring out, like you have a lot that you need to get out and you may be speaking kind of quickly. Microsoft Word, in my experience, hasn't been as productive at capturing that information. So you may need to speak slower. Or take the opportunity to at least create some bullet points, write down some things that you can work off of in order to utilize dictation to capture what you'd like to put in your book. The third thing that I always recommend, and this is something that I used to write my first book. Most of my first book was written using an app on my iPhone. I recorded everything that I needed to say. And then I had that transcribed, and all I needed to do was have that edited, formatted, put together to publish that book. So, recording is probably, in my opinion, the easiest way to capture that information. But again, if you don't have an iPhone, this is a matter of you either downloading an app or if you have a handheld device that is not a phone, but like an actual recorder, you can use that. You just need to have the ability to extract those recordings so that you can get that transcribed and you have the actual text that's going to go on paper. Now, obviously, when it comes to recording, you can also use, let's just say, for example, you're some sort of social media influencer, maybe you're a life coach or something like that, and you've done videos in the past that are, informative, insightful. You do group coaching or what have you. You can extract the audio from those videos and transcribe that and use it as content for your book. So if that's not something that you've been doing, I strongly recommend it because you can find a lot of useful and valuable information that you can share with others by doing it that way. So on to the next step. You want to edit and polish your manuscript. So once you've gotten it down on paper, you have all the words there. I always recommend to my clients that they go through and make sure that they polish the document, because what you don't want to do is get all of that transcribed or get everything written and then throw it off to an editor and say, hey, fix it. Now, while there are editors in many different capacities that will be able to manage that for you, you want to consider the cost. When you just write whatever and then send it to an editor, more than likely you need to partner with a developmental editor. And so a developmental editor probably does the most tedious work of editing, because they're going through your manuscript, they're restructuring it, they're critiquing it also, in the way of helping you to understand where you need to rewrite something and make it stronger or make it more cohesive, to flow with the text that you already have. Copy editors such as myself will go through line by line, and so maybe it doesn't need developmental editing, but it just needs to be polished. It just needs to be, some of the elements researched. Like maybe you wrote a personal development and a personal development book, and you're referencing statistics or quotes and different things that need to be verified. That's a part of the function of a copy editor. Our goal is to go through, make sure that everything not only flows and that line by line. And so I use line editing and copy editing interchangeably, because I do both of them. I look through the entire manuscript line by line, and I make sure that it flows from front or from, the beginning to the very end. But the difference in the two, and there's levels to it. So there's heavy copy editing, where there's more copy editing that needs to be done than maybe a typical, manuscript that may have been well written. There's light copy editing. There might not need to be a lot of changes, but then the focus is less on errors and more on the way that language is used throughout your manuscript. Does that make sense to everybody?
Yes.
Okay. So with line editing, you're going through line by line, just like you are with copy editing, but the focus is on the flow and making sure that everything is what it needs to be. Proofreading is another type of editing. A lot of people don't realize that proofreading is historically intended to be done on an actual copy. So I actually have a printer here in my office where I actually print any manuscript that I edit. And I go through and actually mark on a piece of paper what needs to be changed, and then or updated or corrected, and then make those changes in Microsoft Word. But a lot of people don't do it that way. They just do it on the computer. And, of course, there is not really a way to make any manuscript 100% error-free. Okay. This is just the reality of it. You may have read books and found one or two errors throughout it. It doesn't mean that somebody didn't do their job. It's just that it's that much work to make sure that a manuscript is as cohesive and error-free as possible. I actually put in my agreement that I will make every effort to make a manuscript error-free, but that I can't guarantee it, because I'm a human and that's just what it is. Even AI. And so we're going to talk about AI for a second, because we have tools like Grammarly, we have tools like ChatGPT, where you can plug in this information and it will edit it for you. One of the mistakes that I made with the very first editing project that I had is I used Grammarly to help me edit, because it was my first time. Even though I was good with words, I still felt like I needed a tool to help me along the path. Well, as I went through and looked at what Grammarly was giving me back, I saw that it was actually introducing errors into the manuscript. So while it is a useful tool, it's important to be mindful as you are utilizing those tools. You do still need to look through everything and make sure that it says what you want it to say, that words haven't been added or flip-flopped, because I've seen that happen as well. And I've seen this happen with Microsoft Word as well. It just seems that as time has gone on, I don't know what the change in technology has been, especially with the fact that technology has advanced, in the last 10 years, more so than it had in the previous 10 years. I have just seen a decline in the quality of editing that Microsoft Word does, even when you do spell check. So those are just things to keep in mind. One thing I want to say about working with an editor is that you want to always make sure that you're working with somebody who is working with an agreement. So they're not just charging you money and then having you send you their manuscript, that they have clauses that in an agreement that address the scope of work that they're doing, how much they're charging you, whether or not they're going to allow revisions, how many passes they're going to do. That's an important part of the editing process, because if you have an editor who says they're only going to do one pass and you happen to review it and you're finding all sorts of errors that probably should have been caught, you didn't get your money's worth. You want an editor who's going to do at least two passes. And even if that is they're doing copy editing or line editing and then proofreading, you want to make sure that they're going to look at your manuscript twice. I, for example, do allow my client, well, I do the first part, which is copy editing for me. I send it to my client, allow them to review it. They look at the track changes or what have you, and then they'll send it back to me. Sometimes they have additions that they need to make to the manuscript, other times they don't. But ultimately, the goal is to go through their manuscript, let them know what I think, use the comments feature in Microsoft Word, and then allow them to determine which direction they want to go with the text. Once they send it back to me, they've added their notes or told me what they like to change. Then I go through the proofreading process. And so this allows me to not only, although proofreading isn't the focus when I do the first pass, I do often end up making a lot of proofreading changes just for the sake of things flowing for when the client reviews those copy edits. Does that make sense? Awesome. So just make sure that your editor does more than one pass and that it is documented in the agreement. And also make sure that they are including a non-disclosure statement. We live in a time where, yeah, AI is what it is, but people are also stealing content. They're buying books and they're stealing people's content. And so there's only so much you can do to protect your work from being stolen, as far as, you know, people taking your text and republishing it with their name on it. Of course, you can file with the copyright office. That's a part of, you know, the process of publishing. And you own the copyright. But oh, another thing I want to say while it's on my mind is a lot of people think that using AI to write is a thing. You cannot legally copyright AI written materials. Intellectual property is intended to cover things that you created with your own mind, not with AI. So if you didn't know that, now you do. But beyond that, just want to make sure that you are allowing yourself to understand exactly what your editor is going to do and what they include in their agreement, if they have an agreement, and understanding the scope of the work that they're going to do. All right, so the next thing we're going to talk about is bringing the elements together. So once your book has been edited, there are several different elements to your manuscript that need to be together in order for you to publish it. Specifically, if you are looking to publish something that is professional, okay? So let's just say you want to next month for Small Business Saturday, set up a vendor table at an event and sell your actual books. These are the elements that you want to make sure are in your book. Okay. In the interior design, the layout, you want to have your title page. You need a copyright page. You do not have to do dedication, although I think that it's good to. You don't, a lot of people think the dedication has to be super personal, like it has to be to someone you know. You don't have to do a dedication that's personal. You can do a dedication to, for example, in, I thought my other book was down here. In my first book, the title of the book was called The Courage to Walk Away. And so I said something along the lines of, to those who had the courage to walk away, to those who are still working on it. It was just dedicated to the target audience, people who were looking for the courage to walk away from difficult things. So just keep that in mind. You also want to have, of course, your table of contents. And if you have an introduction is typical, I do recommend it, but you can just jump right into chapter one if you want. A lot of people think that books have to be long. Your book does not have to be long to be effective. As long as what you put inside that book is valuable information, whether it's your testimony or information about how to execute something, as long as what you put in that book is valuable, that's really all that matters. When it comes to publishing your book on KDP, I think the minimum number of pages you actually need in a book is about 26. And I don't think that includes the front matter pages, which the front matter is the table of contents, the dedication, all of those things. So just keep that in mind. Like, it doesn't need to be a super long book. And with the way KDP is set up, you can literally choose a book, like a book size that's conducive to it being a little pocketbook, like maybe a little book of devotionals. I think the biggest size they have is like 8.5 by 11, I want to say. So you can go a few different directions with that, but don't limit yourself in what you want to publish, okay? And then, so of course, the other thing you need is a book cover. So you're going to need, of course, a front and a back of the book. I typically use Canva. I know that, graphic artists are real and they have, a skill set that people like me don't. I know how to do what I do in Canva because they have stuff that's already set up and I just delete what they have and then just add what I like. And I've just been able to learn how to put a good book cover together. But one thing I want you guys to know, if you use apps like Canva to create a book cover, it is not typical, and it's and if I remember correctly, in their terms of use, you cannot use pre-created book covers from Canva for the purpose of selling a book. You have to change those elements. And another thing to remember about Canva is you can only use lines and shapes for, like, as far as creating a book cover for something that you are actually going to make a profit on. So again, this is all about copyright infringement. Those people who create those graphics were paid by Canva to create those graphics, but they still own the copyright to them. So you can't legally create an element and sell a book that has those elements on that cover. Okay.
All
So
right, yes or
anytime
no, this is again, yes.
I'm sorry, say that again.
Hey there.
Oh, okay. So, yes. Yeah, so bringing the elements together includes having your book covers
We are
and,
just waiting for Angie, is that right?
Genia, can you, do you mind muting?
Uh-oh, you've muted now.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes, you're back.
Thank you. Okay, sorry about that. So of course you need the front and back cover, that inside matter. One of the most important parts of that inside matter, that layout being what it needs to be, is the formatting process. So you can hire somebody to do formatting. Formatting is a service that I do provide, as a part of what I do, but it is not hard to learn how to do. And I've recently actually discovered some different ways to do formatting that doesn't require the old process of, and I don't know if you've ever published on KDP before, but they have pre-formatted templates where you can just copy and paste the text from your book and it has everything already laid out. So I was doing that for a few years and it was working out well, but then all of a sudden it started to get really glitchy. So in the past couple of projects that I've done, I've been able to really just kind of hone in on some other ways of formatting without going through that long and tedious process. One of the easiest ways to create an ebook is to quite literally take your Word document, as long as everything is there and formatted the way you like, and if you have like your own website or a platform where you can sell digital products, you can literally, there's a, hold on, I have to look at it to tell you exactly what it says. But in Microsoft Word, you have the ability to convert the document into a PDF file. Once you convert it to a PDF file, that is literally an ebook. So once you create that document, it gives you an ebook and you can sell that as a digital download, a digital download. And if you have even if you just have, I think it's WordPress that I've used for quite some time. There are different elements that you can create on your website that allow you to offer that digital download on your website. So if you need help with that, let me know. I'd be glad to assist. So bringing those elements together, hold on, I gotta unlock this. Oh, author bio. that's one of the things that need to be inside your book. I highly recommend this because you don't want to go selling or giving away a book and they see a name on the cover, but they don't know who you are. They don't know how to reach you. They don't know what you're about or the reason behind why you published that book. And so the author bio is a good opportunity to share information with those people who have supported your book and give them your contact information and a little bit of background. So I always recommend that even if you can't get or don't have professional headshots, that you, most of us have smartphones now. If you have some good sunlight and a nice shirt, you can go outside by a tree and take a nice selfie and people wouldn't even know. So just try to make sure that you have a good quality image on your author bio page, and whoever formats your book, whether you do it or you have somebody else do it, you literally add that picture by your bio and people know who you are and what you look like. And that's if you want to do it. You don't have to put your picture, but I always recommend it. Let me see. And then of course the back of the book, typically for my clients, I have put the book description on the back. That's typical. If you've read books, you know that's, you know, that's typical. People sometimes put their book reviews. Sometimes people, you know, put their about the author section on the back of the book. So with self-publishing, one of the beautiful things about it is that you have the opportunity to create your work the way you want it to look. Now, you also have to consider that, and there's that old adage, you don't judge a book by its cover. Well, most people who buy books do judge them by the cover. So you want to make sure that your book is presentable, that it is what you want it to be, but you want to make sure that it's appealing. You want to make sure that it's eye-catching. You want to make sure that it will intrigue people so that they'll want to pick it up or that they'll want to read it. So back of the book is usually very easy. You just want to make sure that that information is captured appropriately, that there are no typos, that there, you know, that everything is what you really want it to be. All right. So after you bring those elements together, you want to make sure that you review everything. So as I mentioned, when I do my proofreading, I actually print a physical copy of it. This provides a dynamic that allows me to see the manuscript from a different perspective, because with the first part of the process, I'm looking at a computer screen. And although I take breaks and sometimes, you know, I take a day or two or maybe even a few weeks between the projects, depending on what the client deadlines are, being able to look at it on a piece of paper is a completely different situation. So I recommend that even if you don't have, let's just say, because I know sometimes it can be a lot to print, you know, 40, 50, 100 pages, depending on how long your book is, take the opportunity to look at everything once it has been put together. Now, you should have the opportunity to look at the book after it's been edited, proofread, but once those inside matter pages are together, the book layout is together, you want to look at how that everything flows, both on a screen and physically. For every client that I do a self-publishing package for, we order a copy of the proof. One of the beautiful things about publishing with KDP, and that is the primary platform that I personally have used both to publish my books and the books for my clients. And so I talk about it because that's where I have the most experience. One of my goals over the next year is to publish books on other platforms just to see what the process is and to see what the differences are, because I've heard mixed reviews about other platforms, which is one of the reasons why I have stuck with KDP. But the beautiful thing about KDP is that they have, you know, just this information section of the KDP platform. I think it's called, it's the community tab towards the top of the page. But any question that you have, they will answer. It's incredible. That's one of the reasons why I've also stuck with them, because between being able to find any piece of information I needed and also being able to pick up the phone and call customer service, and they actually are helpful and they have excellent customer service, that's a really big deal for me. Like, there is nothing in this world to me like great customer service. And so when you're doing something like publishing a book, you want to make sure that you're able to reach somebody, that you can get them on the phone. I remember once I had changed the email address on, well, I don't even remember. There were two different scenarios where I needed to call customer service. And one of those scenarios was the result of them. So KDP used to be called CreateSpace. And when they changed the platform, they had to move all of the downloads for the books, the formatted books, to the new platform. Well, my email address changed in the process as well. And so my manuscripts disappeared. And I was in a panic. Like I was in a
Yes.
full-on panic. So I picked up the phone and I called them and I'm like, okay, I need y'all to help me because my book isn't there at all. They were not only able to retrieve my manuscript, they were able to restore the online platform with the updated email address. And I've even changed my email address again since then because I ended up launching a business as a result of those endeavors, as far as publishing the book. And oh my gosh, like they have just been absolutely incredible. So I always hype them up because of the customer service, the ease of publishing, being able to order author copies. Oh my gosh, it's so much. One of the things that I want to say, and so in going through the self-publishing process with KDP, there are some terminologies that you need to know the difference, okay? Copies of your proof are copies of your book that you can order before you actually publish the book. And of course, it's a proof. So there's, I think, everything that I, oh, there it is. This? No, it's not. Well, so anyway, this was the first book that I published on KDP. It actually is not being printed right now because I'm in the process of rewriting it, but I just wanted to share this example. I did this entire publication myself. When I say the entire pub, and I knew nothing about writing a book except writing. I knew nothing about formatting, inside matter, or any of those things. But as you can see, we've got, and I don't, I think I created this book cover in Canva, and this was published back in 2016. 2017.
It looks good.
Inside matter page, or the, I'm sorry, the title page. That's the first inside matter. The copyright section, I don't know if you can see that, but copyright section, you always want to make sure you have book title, the copyright symbol, the year that you're publishing, and then your name or your business name, depending on what you're publishing under. And then a message about all rights reserved. In this particular book, I have no part of this book may be reproduced or transmitted in any form or by any means, electronic or mechanical, including photocopying, recording, or by any information storage and retrieval system without written permission from the author. And then the ISBN number is at the very bottom, which you're going to need for any published work that is not considered low content. You can buy your own ISBN through Bowker.com. Is it Bowker.com? If you just Google Bowker, Bowker, you'll be able to find it. But they are the organization that issues ISBN numbers. They also do, what is it called? The I'm drawing a blank,
UPC
but
code.
yes, thank you. That's scannable. So the so these elements allow you to allow the process of you selling your book to be easier. So let's just say you order, I'm sorry, let me go back because there's so much information flowing through my brain right now. I was talking about the difference between a proof and an author copy. The proof, when you order it, will have a band across it that says that it's a proof. So it's I think it says not for sale or something like that. And so the goal is for that to be the copy that you review to look at to see, okay, are the colors on my cover what I want them to be? Is everything on the inside formatted correctly? Do I have unnecessary spaces? I was actually looking at this book earlier and realized that I have a lot of like just very long paragraphs. And so over time, I've learned that you want to have smaller paragraphs in your book. So anyway, so the proof is the proof. The author copies are the copies that you are able to order for the purpose of selling them. So whether you sell them out of your trunk at a vendor event, or if you want to post them on your website and actually ship them to people. having those author copies are the copies that you're actually going to sell or give to other people. Author copies are always sold at what we'll call a wholesale price, the print cost. And so I think all of my books have been $3 or less to actually print. So I usually order 40 or 50 at a time. And I haven't sold any books. When I sold my last copy earlier this year, I decided that I was going to put that on hiatus to focus on editing. But as the holidays are nearing and I'm finishing, that first book, I'm going to order, more copies because I'll be able to go to these vendor events and that kind of thing. So anyway, want to make sure that you always have author copies on hand. That's just something that I've learned. You just never know who you're going to talk to. I have definitely given many of my books out for free. I have done rideshare for a good portion of the last several years of my life to supplement my income. And probably 60% of my book sales have come from just having conversations with random people who I'm picking
Oh
up to
my
take to a
goodness.
destination. Yes. And so. And so I also have ebooks that are on Amazon. And just in the last month, I don't even promote my books because I'm not focused on that. It's just not something I'm focused on in this season. But when people ask about it and I give them, look, people are going and ordering the ebooks. And I'm like, I forgot I wrote that. So I think it's important. I think it's so important that you take the opportunity to create at least one or two publications, whether it's you sharing your testimony and a life lesson that's associated with that, or you have a knowledge set. For example, in my corporate career, I spent almost like 15 years doing freight audit. I have a level of knowledge. I have expert level knowledge about freight audit. I can tell you anything about a bill of lading or a shipment. Freight classification, the NMFTA, like I could write a book. And so that is something that I plan to do when I actually have the time to do it, but it'll be a passive stream of income that is available for people who are interested in that subject. I'm also going to write a book about how addictive rideshare has been. It is an addictive hustle. I can't stop doing it. I don't know why. I don't know what it is. I think it's between meeting people and being able to encourage people, because I have a personal development business outside of doing this. But I'm going to write a book about the addictive hustle that rideshare has been. Anyway, back to the
I love it.
subject. Thank you. We were talking about reviewing and quality checking. I talked about the difference between the author copy and the proof. Make sure that you review and quality check everything. One thing I wanted to say, I kind of got off subject, but one thing that I think is really important, the KDP platform has what is called a previewer that allows you to see the entire book, front cover to back cover, along with the inside matter pages. In 7 years of working with KDP, there has never been a time that what they showed me on that screen not match what I received in the physical book. It's extremely reliable. I'm not saying that they can never have anything go wrong or that nothing can never go bad, but in my experience, that previewer shows you exactly what you're getting in the proof. So when I publish my books on KDP, if what I see in the previewer, like, and I call them quality checks, that's one of the reasons why I put that here in the presentation. But for every client, I do those quality checks and I do not submit that book until those quality checks are clear. First of all, I'm a perfectionist. So if my name is attached to it, it has to be right. But in using that previewer to quality check things, I've been able to learn more about what to do before we ever even get to the previewer to upload anything, making sure that it's right in Microsoft Word. And on the PDF before I ever even upload it, so that when I do finally do that quality check in the previewer, typically it's not even a 25-minute process. So once we have that final work and you get that, to that previewer, typically there's nothing more to do. All right. And of course, so once you've gotten everything that you want inside of that book, had it
Can I
edited,
interrupt you for just a second?
absolutely.
Okay, you said you mentioned the proof copy, the author copy, and then is there another type of copy, or are those the only two?
No, those were the only two. And I wanted to
Okay.
distinguish that because I've had clients get confused about that. So
okay,
you cannot order an author copy until after the book has actually been approved by KDP, because once you go through that previewer and check everything for yourself, they have other quality checks that they do on the back end. And typically, if you have no error messages in the margin, everything is good to go. There are one-off situations I've had where the book cover, like, it wasn't stretched all the way to the edge, and so they didn't approve it, even though it looked fine on the previewer. You could see just a very tiny sliver of line that they were like, nope, it has to be all the way to the edge. So I learned my lesson with that. But outside of that, that's just what it is.
Okay.
But so once you get to the process of actually publishing the book, there are several screens that you'll have to go through after you approve what was in the previewer. You'll need to put some specific keywords in there about your book. This is something you can research. I typically have always just done my keywords based on what I knew my book was about and based on what I know was trending or things that I know, you know, people are actually searching, like personal development or faith or, you know, different things like that. You also have to set the price of your book. There are details that you'll have to select for your book, like you can do a glossy cover or a matte cover. Choosing the size of your book. The size of your book is actually important prior to the point at which you get to that point in the process. And the reason why I say this is because when you're formatting, you want to make sure that you're formatting your book based on the specifications of your book size. So let's just say, for example, you want to publish a book that is the standard book size, which is a 6x9. You can't take an 8.5x5 8.5x11 size document, which is the standard Word document. You can't take that and just plug it into KDP and it's not going to pass the quality controls. I can tell you that for sure. What you want is to either go to the KDP platform, go to the community. They actually have templates that you can download that you can use to format. And so that way you can make sure you have the appropriate book size. You can determine what your book size should be by literally just, if you have a bookshelf in your house and you look at the book, all you gotta do is take a ruler and measure each side, and that'll tell you exactly what size it is. And then you can choose that template on their website. Once you get that formatted, everything is, you know, is on there. You get that uploaded, select the correct size once you're in there, selecting your options, you know, when you're getting ready to publish, and everything should be good to go. As far as pricing, I have encouraged clients to make sure they understand what their book subject is selling for, in order to know what is going to be best for them. It, you know, it's just something that you want to know. It's not uncommon to just set a book price at $9.99. But if your book is actually worth $14.99, then you want to get what you know your book is worth. I know the KDP doesn't allow eBooks to be more than, I want to say it's $11.99. It could be $9.99, but it does tell you in the screen. And I'm trying to think. There are other details, but as you go through it, all of it is self-explanatory. And this is one of the reasons why I said that this process is a lot simpler. It is tedious. And there are, you know, a lot of steps within some of these realms. But ultimately, these things that I've shared in this particular presentation is really cut and dry. These are the same steps that I follow every time I publish my own books, as well as books for my clients. So the information, once you get into KDP, when it comes to actually publishing your book, is pretty self-explanatory. You're going to need a book description, whether you publish on KDP or not. You're going to need a book title, whether you publish on KDP or not. You know, you don't need a subtitle, but it's something that, you know, sets your book apart. There are plenty of people who have a book called, you know, Breaking Free, but if yours is, you know, Breaking Free, 3 Tips to Overcoming, you know, Sexual Abuse, I don't know, that sets your book apart from the other books that are called Breaking Free. So you want to try to be as specific and niched as possible. And you also want to think about who your target audience is. Join Facebook groups that are consistent with, you know, the subjects that they are interested in or things that they may be a part of. I know I gained a lot of not just my clients, but friends and business partners in Facebook groups for divorced women. It has completely blown my mind. As a matter of fact, I think most of the people who join today are people who I think it's a Facebook group for high value women. I can't remember, but I just know when we join these spaces, it's not just about the camaraderie, but it's also about understanding like everybody has a story. And some of these are the things that bring us together as individuals. So, once you publish, you know, you hit that button, they'll need about 24 to 40. I think they say 72 hours, but I don't think it's ever taken more than 24 to 48 hours for any of my books to actually be published, whether they were mine or for a client. They're very great with communication. I think most of it is automated. So you'll automatically get the confirmation that they are reviewing your book. You'll automatically get the confirmation once they've completed it. So, and when the book has gone live. So after you publish, obviously you want to make sure that you are marketing your book. Okay. So marketing is not my strong point. One of the reasons why I haven't gotten heavy into marketing is because for me, I tend to attract the people who need whatever it is that I have. And when I say like this book, The Courage to Walk Away, I can't tell you how many women who struggled with abuse or overcoming abuse rather, got in the car and happened to start talking about it. And that was how I ended up with the book sale. And so again, as I mentioned before, a part of it is just allowing yourself to enter spaces with, you know, people who would resonate with whatever it is. But one of the things, and so this is a sidebar, and again, this isn't about promotion. This is more about just sharing my story and how I got here. One of the things in the past couple of years that I've learned about is something called human design. And one of the things that I've learned in being my human design is manifesting generator is that I attract. So I personally don't have to market too much because people just end up in my car or I end up in the grocery line at the store behind them or, you know, like it just always ends up that I cross paths with people. So if you don't know your human design, I highly recommend learning about it at the very least so that you can get a better understanding of who you were created to be. Because what I like to say is what we know about ourselves is the tip of the iceberg, but human design reveals what's beneath the surface. And it's crazy the amount of information.
Is that like a quiz that you can take or?
It is based on a lot of different elements, but you do need to know your birth date, your date, your date, place, and time of birth to get your human design chart. And I am a certified human design analyst, but you don't need an analyst to read your chart for you. If you just look at the element, like there are five elements that they automatically give you. I think Jovian Archive is a good website to use. I actually believe I used Jovian, but if you drop your email in the chat box, I'd be glad to send you that link. Or if you want to tell me. But beyond that, because I think I have about 2 or 3 minutes left in the meeting, I don't want it to cut off on us. Okay, I got it. I'm going to copy and paste this.
If we don't have any further questions, I just want to let you know that as you are going through the process of writing your book, of putting your book together, of, you know, just getting these different elements together, just keep in mind that there is somebody out there who needs the message that you have to share. And so I don't want you to get caught up in whether or not you're qualified to be a writer or whether or not your knowledge is sufficient. There is somebody who is in a step on their journey who could benefit from what you have to share. So don't let anything stop you from putting your book out to this world. Thank you so much for joining me today. If you have any questions or any feedback, please feel free to send me an email at info@editingbyerica.com. And I will talk to y'all again soon.
Well, thank you again. And we look forward to seeing you and all the things you're going to be doing in the future.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. I look forward to connecting with you.
Okay. Take care now. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.